Welcome to Conversations on Discipleship. I'm your host, Father Adam Streitenberger. With me today is Mark Huddy. Welcome, Mark.
Good to be here, Father Adam. Thanks for inviting me.
Great to have you. Mark is a regular guest here on Conversations on Discipleship. He is the director of the Office of Social Concerns for the Diocese of Columbus. But as we begin this conversation, let's start with a prayer in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, source of all light and of all life, we rejoice and give you thanks for all of your many gifts. We ask, O Lord, that you strengthen us and renew us with the confidence of faith through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, Mark, one of the kind of topics that has arisen in the last couple weeks as Congress has been working on their budget is the Hyde Amendment. And I wondered maybe you could explain what this Hyde Amendment is.
Sure, I'd be happy to. The Hyde Amendment is a longstanding, actually, amendment to the budget process. It's never been enacted as permanent law. It's always been enacted as a rider to the appropriations legislation in Congress. It was first enacted in 1976. Congressman Henry Hyde was the person who introduced it at that time. And its purpose was to bar federal funding of most elective abortions in the United States. And it's been a part of that legislation really consistently since 1976. It's been supported by, in a bipartisan way, by both houses of Congress and by both parties in Congress, and it's been supported by virtually every sitting president until recently.
I think a lot of us may wonder, what kind of funds does this, you know, is this sort of protect us from? Like, where would this money normally?
The majority of the protection falls within the Medicaid area, so it would prohibit federal funding of abortion through Medicaid.
Okay. Does it? What about other sort of like the VA services or military services? Does it touch upon that, like the health care that's offered through
there? You know, there are different provisions that protect that from happening in different places. So another example would be the longstanding Helms Amendment. The Helms Amendment was essentially the Hyde Amendment as applied to foreign appropriations. So it would prevent the U.S. government from funding abortions overseas. So there are different types of provisions like the Hyde Amendment that have application in different fora.
So the Hyde is more just Medicaid,
mostly Medicaid
programming.
Yeah,
mostly Medicaid. What is this? This might be off the cuff, but the Mexico City policy, is this somehow connected to that?
Mexico City was a policy, again, mostly dealing with foreign, providing money to foreign nations for things like abortion. And so that was enacted by executive order, again, by most presidents. When President Obama came in, he removed the Mexico City policy, and then President Trump reenacted it, and President Biden has removed it again. So it's been more closely associated with Republican presidents and not favored by Democratic presidents.
So what has happened that the Hyde Amendment, as you've said, since the late 70s, it sounds like it's been consistently reapproved, that taxpayer money doesn't go to abortions, at least in the realm of Medicaid that area. But what has changed that now we're talking about it?
Well, I think as a part of certain campaign promises of the Biden administration and by action of some members of Congress, particularly in the House on the Democratic side, there's been promises to eliminate the Hyde Amendment. That promise has been made because at least in terms of what's being said. They see that abortion access is being more restricted by state legislation, and they have said that this is a bar to particularly low-income women receiving healthcare services as they define it. And so the promise was made to eliminate the Hyde Amendment, and so the House, in its appropriations legislation for the first time in a long time, did not include that in their appropriations legislation, nor did the president include it in his budget.
Now, there's been kind of a split. So, and maybe you could explain that the House is going in one direction and the Senate is going in another direction.
That's true. It's very close. So the House passed its appropriations legislation toward the end of July. And again, the Hyde Amendment and similar provisions were not included in the House legislation. The Senate took that up, and on August 10th, actually the night between August 10th and August 11th, the Senate actually passed an amendment called the Lankford Amendment, which restored much of the Hyde Amendment protections in the Senate version of the appropriations legislation. So, but it was approved by only one vote, and it needed the vote of Democratic Senator Joe Manchin in order to actually pass. So the vote was 50-49 in favor of that amendment. And then the legislation was passed, the concurrent resolution, which authorized going forward with that budget, and it will go through a budget reconciliation process involving both houses of Congress now, but the Senate voted to move forward with that.
Okay, great. As at least my understanding of the legislative process is, it'll go into reconciliation committees and things like that. Mm-hmm. What are the chances of the Hyde Amendment being included in that final version?
Well, I think because they had the votes to actually pass it in the Senate, the Lankford Amendment in the Senate, because the process doesn't require more than a simple majority, it essentially shows that the Senate has the power to block things going forward that do not include that amendment. So I think the chances are good, but it's never over till it's over.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're tuning in, this is Conversations on Discipleship, and I'm your host, Father Adam Streitenberger. With me today has been Mark Huddy, and Mark, that's not the only sort of concern as disciples we should have, especially in regard to the budget issue, with the issue of immigration.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because when the Senate agreed to Senate Concurrent Resolution 14, which was the budget resolution, approving that to move forward, they included among the instructions in terms of to those reconciliation committees, particularly to the Committee on the Judiciary, to provide lawful permanent status to qualified immigrants. So the chairman of the Committee on Migration issued a statement and urged the Senate really to look out after the needs of immigrants, particularly those that include what we call those, we use the term dreamers, those that were covered by the DREAM Act, temporary protected status immigrants, and deferred enforced departure immigrants holders, as well as undocumented agricultural workers and other undocumented essential workers. So the instruction was to try to provide a path to citizenship for those particular groups. The USCCB, the U.S. Bishops Conference, through the Committee on Migration, has been pushing for that. At this point in time, the USCCB has also issued an action alert urging all of us to write our senators and write our congressional House members to try to provide comprehensive immigration reform in the next round of legislation.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Mark. As this immigration issue develops, hopefully we can have you back to talk a little bit more about it. At least with this particular initiative, what do you kind of foresee down the road, the direction it's going?
It's been a very hard path. You know, comprehensive immigration reform has been on the table literally for a very long time. And everyone says, yes, that's what we should do, but when it comes to actually passing legislation that achieves that kind of reform, it hasn't happened. You may remember that when our current governor, Michael DeWine, was in the Senate, he was one of a small group of Republicans that really were trying to push for comprehensive immigration reform. It looked at that time like it might actually move forward. It did not. There were consequences for that small group of Republicans that were pushing for immigration reform in the next election. As you recall, Governor DeWine did not win his reelection in the Senate, and that was in 2006, maybe. I'm trying to get the year right on that. So yeah. It's been a very difficult path to actually get legislation passed on reform, despite the fact that both parties have said, yeah, we should do this.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much, Mark. And you've been listening to Conversations on Discipleship. I'm your host, Father Adam Streitenberger. And until next time, peace and all good.